Yo,
it ain't playa.
Yo, Prince, one of them ones, I'm in the mix. Talking hoops, dropping gems, let's fix. Women's ball, we elevate, bring it to the mainstream. Key coming with facts, we a dream team. Breakdown plays, ain't no cliches. From the court to the screen, every detail displayed. Got the WNBA shining bright. Click the like button if you feeling it right. Excuse the takeover, taking charge. Women's game front and center, living large. Hit that subscribe, stay tuned to the ride. We bringing the heat, never gonna hide. From sky hooks to switches, we capture the wishes of ballers making waves in the biggest of dishes. Prince one and key, got the knowledge artillery, dropping truth bombs effectively, brilliantly. Excuse the takeover, taking charge. Women's game front and center, living large. Hit that subscribe, stay tuned to the ride. We bringing the heat, never gonna hide. Analyzing chat, every stat interact, breaking barriers, no cap, that's a fact. Leave a comment below, watch the growth unfold. Together we gon' make this story be told.
What's going on? What's going on? Hey, another Monday for Excuse the Takeover. Hey, that intro goes crazy. I love it. I love it. Chat, tell me what y'all think about that intro, chat. I'm over here vibing, bopping my head, going crazy. But
like, I seen you backstage.
Yeah, it was, crazy. But we back with another one, with another banger, you feel me? Episode 3, Excuse the Takeover. We're going to be getting into the latest and greatest in women's basketball. You got your host, Zoe. What are we doing? One of them ones. You got WBB Universe, where I'm going to hit you with the key facts. So you know it's always going to be a great show when we come through with the come through. I'm excited to get into some of these topics. It's been an exciting week. As a fan, it's been hard on my heart for my teams, but it's been an exciting week in basketball because no matter what, we get to see some great players play, some breakout games for some players, and I love to see it. I love to see it. Listen though, y'all, you have to share the video. Tell a friend to tell a friend. You have to like the button on my page and Prince's page. Okay.
Go to both.
Exactly. It means a lot. Listen, subscribe, y'all. Y'all gotta subscribe. And then listen, to make this show, Excuse the Takeover, explode, all donations are accepted. It certainly helps. So just keep that in mind if you're loving the content. Nothing is too small or too big, y'all. It's super appreciated. So you know what I'm saying? I can't say no more about that. But listen, I'm at 676 subscribers. By the end of this show, I expect to be at 680. I think Prince is at 2502. I expect him to be at 2505 at least, y'all. Y'all could do better than that, but I'm gonna keep sweet for this third episode. 676. Hey, I expect to be at 680.
This is episode number 3. Like, before we get into it, man, how do you feel? Like, this is episode number 3.
Look, I feel great. I feel great. I'm excited. I look forward to it, y'all. I look forward to it. You know, me and Prince have a whole setup that y'all obviously don't see, where we keep up with the topics, where we come up with the topics, our creative process. You know what I'm saying? And I'd be excited, you know, putting things on there, what we finna talk about throughout the week that I pick up on. And it's stuff that I'll even talk about, but me and him talking about it might have a whole different twist to it, right? So I love it. I'm feeling it, feeling good about it. I think everybody, hey, chat, 52 people watching. I think y'all loving it too. Episode 3, how y'all feeling? Y'all want more? What's going on?
I'm feeling.
What about you? How you feeling about it?
Hey, look, I've been getting an amazing, like, people been hitting me up like, man, when you gonna drop like the little vids? Last week I didn't put the poll up. I was busy. It was my birthday week, so forgive me. This week, maybe later on tonight, after we finish doing rival games, I'm gonna drop a poll, see which video y'all want me to drop tomorrow morning. Every morning every Tuesday morning moving forward. We're gonna drop a video. We're gonna try to get the poll up before Monday ends. Because they've been asking for like, man, drop the snippet, drop the injury snippet, drop the Olivia Miles and Notre Dame snippet from last week. So we gonna my bad for not dropping nothing last week. It's not Key's fault, it's my fault because I got the download. I just was, man. Hey, last week was my birthday. Y'all already know that, but people been hitting me up on Instagram. Like somebody else hit me up on Instagram was like, man, I would love to join y'all show, and they got a big following. And I even told them, look, right now, maybe we get to episode number 20. Right now, it's just me and Key. We just trying to grow it. If you want to, you can share it on your page. And they say, bet. So it's actually on their story. So we probably got some new people going to be in here today from them sharing it on their Instagram. Sure, they got a huge following. So shout out to them, man. And look, we're just going to get bigger and bigger. And we got some other things coming, man. But appreciate all the support. Honestly, I feel good about what we got going. Episode number 3.
Let's do it. Hey, without further ado, you feel me? Let's get into it. Let's get into some of these topics, y'all. We would be remiss to not bring up and mention the White Mamba, Diana Taurasi's retirement. You know what I'm saying? Listen, a long list. She got a scroll of accomplishments. 3-time WNBA championship with Phoenix Mercury in 2007, 2009, and 2014. WNBA MVP in 2009. 2-time WNBA Finals MVP in 2009 and 2014. WNBA's all-time leading scorer in both regular season and postseason. 14-time All-WNBA selection. 11-time All-Star, 6-time Olympic gold medalist, the most in Olympic basketball history, 6-time EuroLeague champion in 2007 to 2010, then 2013 and 2016, 3-time EuroLeague MVP, and don't forget college, you know what I mean? 3 NCAA titles with the University of Connecticut, other 3-time Russian League Player of the Year, and FIBA World Cup legend. Taurasi played 20 seasons with the Phoenix Mercury, y'all. Gave them her all, gave them her last, and she finally said, Diana Taurasi out. Drop the mic. Hey, you can't be mad at that. She left on a high note, if you ask me. I will say, wish she had a farewell tour, right? Because she deserves that for her career. I did not like that. Didn't even realize that until KSAP, I think, said something. So I just really think she deserved that, y'all, because just how great she is. I honestly think maybe they invite her to some games in different cities and still do it because she deserves it. I mean, she just has such a great and long career. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate what she's given to the game. Look, y'all, we can have GOAT debates for days. That's subjective. You know, everybody got their different GOATs, but I will say, she has GOAT status, right? Like, what she has done is bar none, period. You feel me? The accomplishments, how long, you know, with the same team, etc., all of that. Even if not, I mean, it's not enough that could be said about her and her career. So, what you think, Zoe?
Man, shout out to the true White Mamba, man. Shout out to White Mamba. White Mamba out, man. I wish she would have had a farewell tour where we could have gave it a rocking chair. You know what I'm saying? The old guitar. Right. Like, honestly, Taurasi deserved one of those Kareem Abdul-Jabbar send-offs. Like, every stadium. Because that's what she, to me, Diana Taurasi is the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar of the WNBA to me. She's the all-time leading scorer. I know LeBron passed him in the WNBA. But for years, I think for 40 years, he was whatever it was, 40, 30 years. He was the all-time scorer, multiple championships, stayed with the Lakers for a long time, even though he started off with the Bucks. But their careers, as far as like where they stand, are the same to me. She's not my GOAT, but she's definitely in my top 3. Yeah. So like she's in my top 3 because my number one, I don't care how people feel. My top 5 is Maya Moore, Lisa Leslie, Diana Taurasi, Tamika Catchings, and Cheryl Swoops. Like that's, and Cynthia Cooper is right on the outside looking in. Like Cynthia Cooper is right number 6. Some days, depending on how I'm feeling, she moves. Cheryl swoops to number six, and she goes number five. But like, that's my top five, man. I look, my mom played basketball, all my sisters, so I grew up just watching WNBA. My mom played in college, so like, I've always known about the old school players. So Diana Taurasi is up there with them. MVPs, all time leading scorer, key rate off the accolades. I mean, ain't too much she hasn't done in her career. I know some people was upset about her being in the Olympics on the team last year. They felt she was taking other people's spot. But when you get to that point in your career and you've obtained that many accolades, you get that honorary spot. I don't care who you felt deserved it.
Yeah, man.
But in that work for 20 years, she deserved that spot. So, like, that's why all these Fairweather fans, they don't really know who Diana Taurasi is. They know her through the last 4-3 years. Like, right. they don't know the Taurasi y'all see on these highlights right here, the behind the back passes, the up and unders, the give me the ball and get out the way Diana Taurasi. Like, a lot of them don't know her. So shout out to the White Mamba, man. Look, for this new generation, I guarantee you, some of them don't even know Kobe Bryant actually gave her that name, White Mamba. Like, they don't even, they only know about the Gold Mamba, the Jewel Lloyd. Like, they the new fans. Like, she was the first WNBA Mamba. Snapped by Kobe. When he was at the number 8, snapped by Kobe.
Yeah.
Shout out to Diana, though, man.
She definitely has that attitude and that grit, like, and that swagger, like, you know, like him and everything like that. And as far as the Olympic thing, that was neither here nor there to me. Like, I just didn't understand how people felt, because you know what? When I hear some of the things people say about the WNBA, I try to bring it back down to a regular job, right? You know how many people feel like if they gave 20 years to a company and a company don't do X, Y, and Z, they be mad? So think about it in that way when it comes to Diana Taurasi. Yeah, you might not think she's good enough now, but she done spent 20 years building up her resume, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, they're going to give her that honorary seat, man. And y'all will want the same thing even in your own life. So it's weird to me when people make those comments when they expect that in their own life, but don't like it when it happens for someone else. It's just wild. So, hey, it is what it is. Again,
look, Keith, they want that raise, that work. They want the reserve parking spot when they got somebody
that
just came into your job. They got a better resume than you. They went to a more Ivy League school. They got parents with heritage that's been with the company as well. They get the reserve spot. You feel like you deserve it because you've been there 20 years putting in work. You ain't getting no raises. They come in, new accolades, this big degree, and get the reserve spot. So we deal with it in real life, right? So that's why I don't get them. Like, y'all, most of them deal with it at their own, you know, pace. So I don't get it at all.
So it is what it is. The haters gonna hate. Her career speaks for itself. Hey, hats off to you, Diana. Have a great retirement. We hope to see you at some games. Hey, you never know, maybe she'll own a team at some point, be part owner, something like that. Never leaving. Somebody who played basketball, she's never leaving basketball. So I'm not buying that. So she'll be involved in some shape, way, or form. And we look forward to seeing the other end of her career. Like, Candace Parker is now Adidas, la la la, right? You know what I'm saying? So we'll see her somewhere. But yeah, hats off again to Diana. Love what you did and love what you'll do in the future. But, you know, talking about Diana Taurasi, all her accolades, championships, all of that, we have to get into another team that's trying to get to a championship, the first unrivaled championship. Let me caveat. Stop downplaying unrivaled. I hear too many people. It's unrivaled. It's unrivaled. It doesn't matter. It's not real. It's like, does the ball go in the hoop? What are we talking about? You know what I mean? So stop that. A championship matters in unrivaled just as much as anywhere else. It will be listed on their accolades as well. Remember, this is going to be something that goes on for a very long time into the future. So you know, it's important that we recognize this importance. You know what I mean? So I don't like that y'all saying that either. But we do have to get into the key factor, you know what I'm saying, for the rose blossoming and unrivaled, for the rose winning and unrivaled. Look, I'm going to let you take it and kind of let us know. Let us know what you think are the keys to their success.
What are the keys to the rose blossoming and unrivaled? The keys are, we need, the rose needs Angel Reese Motor, Kelsey Gray's veteran leadership and passing ability. They need Kalia Copper's ISO scoring. They need Steven's three-point shooting. They need Lexi Hall's energy. They need Sykes' tenacity and grit. Like, they need Ariel Atkins to get in the lab and understand three-on-three, because I think she could be another key if she can catch up to game speed. And honestly, I don't think she can. I just don't think there's enough time and reps. Like, and we need you, like, we know how the Rose looked their first 4 to 5 games. It was kind of wonky. They didn't know who the go-to was. Everybody was trying to figure out where to get their shots at on the court. They were trying to we bashed Nola for the pick and roll defense. And like, that's what Ariel Atkins was getting like destroyed in by Vanish Loop in last game, like that pick and roll. And that's what I'm trying to give her grace. I don't think it got enough time, because she could definitely be a big piece to that. But that's what we need. We need Steven shooting. We need Lexi Hall and Sykes grit, defensive tenacity, and their energy. We need Angel Reese's motor. We need Chelsea Gray's passing and veteran leadership. And we need Kalia Copper to get on board, ISO scoring. We need that. Like, we need Copper to come back. We need Copper. Like, this weekend showed me we need Copper. Because sometimes if one person doesn't have it, we need somebody else to be able to step in and get a shot or two. Like we see in the WNBA all the time. Think about the Aces. If on the perimeter, if Jackie Young don't got it, what the coach does? Put the ball in Kelsey Plum's hand and vice versa. If Asia Wilson ain't got it going in the inside. So, I mean, same thing with the Liberty. Sabrina ain't got it going. Give it to Stewie. Let her run point. Kick it out to shooters on drive. So, I think they need all the pieces. And they're in a good position. They need this game tonight to stay within it, because only the top four get in, right, Key?
I believe so. If I'm not mistaken, so, I think it's just the top four, yes.
Okay, so they need the number two. Honestly, they can go in at the number three, because my pat for them is they play the two of the three, whichever one they are, because I know one going to play four. So I think Luna Isles locked up number one seed. So the Rose can win their first game. They'll play the Luna Isles in the championship game, and we know they can beat them because they have already. So they're in a good position. They got a lot of chemistry going on. Reese didn't have a good game last game, but it's basketball, ladies and gentlemen. Days you wake up and you just don't feel like playing basketball, no matter how much you're getting paid, no matter how long you've been playing it. Some days you wake up and you just ain't got it today. Some days you wake up and you tell the coach, hey, coach, I ain't got it today, but I'm going to go out there and see if I can muster it up throughout the game. Everybody's allowed to have bad games, off games, as long as you can bounce back. So today, we'll see how Angel Reese bounce back. I think they need to get Angel Reese in pick and roll a little more. Last game, it was off. I know Chelsea Gray was in her bag. So I think we need to start this game off with some pick and roll, get Angel Reese going, because Chelsea Gray, she's a veteran. She can get going, Key. So I think we need to figure out how to get Angel going first, because she's the key to this all. She's the key to this rose blossoming. Like, she's the key to this rose turning into something beautiful. So we get Angel Reese going. Her defense is going to be her defense. Her rebound is going to be her rebounding. But we get her going in the paint, pick and roll. We get her going in some ISO. Get her a couple shots. Run some screens for her. Get her a couple, like, 10-foot shots. Let's see if a couple of those go in. Because Chelsea Gray going to find her way. She's a veteran. She's been around the league. So that's the keys to me. Everybody need to play their part, not do too much. We don't need Sykes scoring. We need her tenacity and her defense. Let her score off of energy. You know, backdoor passes, steals, loose balls. Like, same thing with Lexi Hall Stevens. We don't need you posting up. If you ain't shooting threes, no, Nola, sit it down. Like, that people get paid out of position sometimes, man. So they play all that, they'll be all right. They'll be all right.
Listen, I'm gonna get into it next, but Terry Taylor, appreciate you for the $5 super chat. Appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? All of what y'all give to us goes back into the show. So thank you so much.
All I ask is when you lay your head on that pillow at night, know I gave you everything I had.
Appreciate you, Terry. Hey, shout out to you. Listen, it's 102 people watching right now. You know what I'm saying? Go hit the like button on both pages and subscribe. You don't want to miss this. Hit the notification buttons and then click all notifications so you know every time we drop a video, every time we go live, you one of the first people to get the ping and you in here and you don't miss it. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, y'all, come through with the come through. Subscribe, comment, share, and like. 102 of y'all in here. Come on now.
Yes. And look, I'm working on a new segment called membership segment, where once me and Key get the memberships up on our channel, if you're a member of both channels, you have to be a member of both channels. Any tier don't matter whether the $2.99, the $10.99, whatever. You have to be a member of both channels. We'll contact you behind the scenes. We'll let you create a segment and you'll come up with us. But you have to be a member of both channels. We'll call it the member segment. We'll do it each episode. We'll give you 15 minutes of spotlight to come up, hang out with us. Even if you just got a little bit to say on the topic and you just create the topic for us, we'll still let you come up, give us your 1 minute, 2 minute speech, and we'll take it away from there. But that we want to make sure y'all feel like family. We want to make sure y'all grow with us and we're not just growing on our own. Again, we look, excuse the takeover, is really about to take over. So just wanted to throw that little nugget out there for y'all, man. We got some big things coming. We'll continue to add new things to make the show better.
Sure, that's exciting. I love that. I love that. So to get back into a little bit of what you said, Kalia Copper isn't expected to be on the bench during the upcoming games as she rehabs injury. They are expecting her to return near the end of the season. So the end of the season, I think, is like March 10th, the like regular season before the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming these next few games, they just not going to have her. And then maybe she comes back for that last game or something like that before they go into the playoffs, right? Hopefully. I had to say that. I will say Naz Hillman has been signed as a relief player contract, but we don't know where she's going yet. She's probably doing her physical and all of that before we know where she's going. What I'm hoping is she may be coming over to us because Z has been out. Z and Kyle Copper are out tonight again, y'all. I mean, we know Angel's a workhorse, right? We know her mental tenacity, too, is bar none. But, hey, tired is tired, man. You know, listen, from a woman, you might be going through some other stuff that make you even more fatigued. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard. Trust me, it'd be hard for me to work remote when I'm going through some things, right? So I can't imagine going to play basketball that fast, 7 minutes a quarter. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So we don't know what she had going on, but everybody has a game where they off. It is what it is. I'm not knocking her. But I call it fair, y'all. So while I'm watching, I'll say, damn, that she having a terrible game. That doesn't mean I think she's a terrible player now. I just call what I see, and that's what it is. We move to the next one. If she's having a great game, hey, she killing it. I just call what I see in front of me. You understand what I'm saying? So I'll say this. I think everything you pointed out is for sure facts. I think they can win it all. I know a lot of people think they can't, but they need a healthy team. They really do. So it really is going to come down to that. I do think that. Unfortunately, I think it'll come down to how healthy is their team. You know, Kalia Copper coming back and getting downhill, that's it, too. Like, I don't want to see her do nothing else. Get downhill and get a bucket. You understand? And play some damn defense and stop switching. For the love of God, if she could just do those two things,
fight over the screen.
Yes, come on, if she could just do those two things, we're good. Yeah, and Chelsea Gray, just do what she do. She played the game fast and slow at the same time. She has that skill, you know. Do those things. Be a veteran leader, like you said. She gets a little frustrated. I noticed that she gets a little frustrated instead of just, hey, you the leader. Keep a calm head, never too high, never too low. Get people back into it. Angel just need to be Angel, and y'all know what the hell that mean. Just be Angel. Just be the dog you are. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what you bring to the team. And then Azaree, same thing. You're not asking for too much from her. I will say this, though. When Azaree comes back, Nola cannot play her the same amount of minutes. That's my feeling. I feel like play Angel Reese as much as you can and then stick Stevens in. I don't know if she'll do that because it seems like she's partial to Stevens. But I do think the key to them winning is Angel getting the minutes she's been getting. Doesn't have to be the same exact amount, 23 minutes, stuff like that. It could be maybe 15, maybe 20, and then plug Stevens in here and there. Same thing you said. Lexi Ho and Brittany just being aggressive in defense and getting it out the mud. I think I'm cool with them setting Lexi up for threes, but she got to hit them things, man. That's one thing I will say. She got to hit them. She got to smoke them threes, man. So, you know, I'm cool with her getting a bucket, but she has to hit them. That's my only thing with Lexi. And she smoked a few layups too, easy layups. So yeah. She just has to get better at those little things. I will say that. She has an infectious energy on the court, I can tell. But, hey, you gotta hit your shots. You just do. So, that's kind of where I see it at, but I definitely think they could win. But the only thing I will say is the Owls just have the advantage of a healthy team that have played together this entire time, and they defer. They defer to Fee, and they defer to Skylar. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The other day, Courtney came up. Yeah, Skylar's our leader, and we do as she say. And Nafisa chilling. Nafisa's clearly the star. But she just don't care, you know what I mean? So she cool with hearing that, but that instills confidence in Skylar and her veteran leadership, right? So those little things is what keeps putting them over the hump, you know, no matter what you say. It's those things that don't show up on a stat sheet. Unfortunately, they won't defer to Angel. They don't really run plays for her like that. She's a screen setter a lot of times, and I think that hurts them. And then Chelsea, she just has to be better at being a vet. That's just where I'm at with it. But I see them going toe-to-toe. I do see it being them in the finals.
That would be a good championship game. If I'm on rival, look, basketball, you respect it. You don't cheat the game. You don't force matchups. But if I'm on rival, I'm sitting behind the scenes, and I'm like, please let this play out. When you think about ratings, my first championship game is like the regular season is what it is, right? You're going to bring in fans, but those ratings for a championship game, once you put championship on that title, the ratings will go through the roof because some people are just waiting for the championship game, right? So because some people probably ain't really a fan of 3-on-3. They're just waiting for the championship game. So if you can get the Rose and the Lunar Isles in a championship game, Fee versus Angel, Scholar versus Chelsea.
Yeah.
Look here. You got you one.
Must see TV. Just like Excuse the Takeover. Must see TV, y'all.
Got you.
You know what I mean? That's the best matchup that they could give us, seriously. So, I mean, I just don't think the Mist or the Laces have enough to go over the hump. But our injury could be that small factor that pulls us and drops us down if we lose a few more games. So we're going to see if we can thread the needle. I hope that we do. Let's pray on that. Yeah, let's touch and agree because that's what I want to see as well. Yo, that's what I want to see as well. Must see TV, just like Excuse the Takeover. Listen, look, 109 people, hit the like button, comment, and subscribe. But we're going to get into a topic I've been anticipating since the weekend, or during the week, actually. Look, we're going to talk about, for a few weeks now, we're going to talk about who are the best perimeter defenders, you know what I'm saying, and what are they worth on the market. So what you thinking, Zoe? What you thinking? Because I know this is something you really been...
Best perimeter defense, like this topic is important to me because I think perimeter defense has been underrated. It hasn't been talked about a lot because perimeter defense isn't flashy. You aren't getting the blocks at the rim. You don't really get put on SportsCenter for blocking somebody trying to lay the ball up, or in the men's league, don't. So perimeter defense has kind of like become obsolete as far as like just being showcased. But perimeter defense wins championships. Rim protection helps, but perimeter defense wins championships. So to me, perimeter defense in the WNBA at this juncture of where the WNBA is going to be so important. Because if you look at the way the game is teetering, you're getting a lot of more shooters, not a lot of post play. You look at all the main bigs in the WNBA, they're starting to shoot the elbow shot. They're trying to get to their little ISO on the wings. They're trying to do the sharp corner pull-ups. Like, they're getting more into their bag of putting the ball on the floor. You got the Fees, the Stewies, the Asias. You know what I'm saying? They get more into putting the Thomas. Even the Breonna Jones, like even the BGs, they putting the ball on the floor more. When BG used to be back to the basket, you even see her in 3-on-3. She's trying to shoot threes. She's trying to go ISO. So 3-on-3, Unrivaled is literally Unrivaled. Unrivaled is literally highlighting how important perimeter defense is.
Facts.
It's literally highlighting it. It's like, it's literally showing you. So hopefully going into the WNBA season this year, fans are going to start paying attention to perimeter defensive players and giving them more props. My top three perimeter defenders in the WNBA currently is, I would say, Dejounte Carrington. He hasn't showcased it in her rival yet, but Ariel Atkins, Dejounte Carrington, and crazy thing, I'm gonna go Alyssa Thomas. I'm gonna go Alyssa Thomas because she's able to guard on the perimeter. She's not the quickest, but she's very smart. If you watch the way she guards on the perimeter, she's very smart. And McBuckets, Kayla McBride is right on the outside looking in of my top three. She right on the outside. McBuckets is one of the most underrated perimeter defenders in the league. Key don't agree with me, y'all. Man. As y'all can see by her face, she over here hyperventilating. I can't wait to hear her top three. She over here hyperventilating. She needs to go drink some water. I don't know what's going on with her over there. It must be hot. It must be hot where she at. But look, Dejounte Carrington is the dog of perimeter defenders. Like, she's the dog, right? She's the dog. Ariel Atkins, I call her the consistency. She's, look at her accolades. She's consistency on the perimeter. Year in, year out, she brings it. She's always in the mix. Year in and year out. Like I said on my film breakdown, Ariel Atkins is the first player, perimeter or anchor, first player in WNBA history to make an all-defensive team in her first 5 years. First and only. So I call her Miss Consistency on the perimeter. And Alyssa Thomas, I call her in and out. Miss in and out. She can guard inside and out. She's underrated. She's very, very talented as far as her IQ. She doesn't get enough credit for her IQ. I never hear when people talk Alyssa Thomas, they never say anything about her IQ. She's very smart. She plays passing lanes. She'll let you think you got to post up, and she'll pull a chair at the last minute. Like, her defense is very underrated. But as you can see, her accolades are there. First teams, second teams. Like, but she's underrated as far as her IQ on defense goes. McBuckets is right out there, though, Key. McBuckets. I'm excited for her this year because I think she's going to take another jump. I think this year she can make an all-defensive team. I think this year McBuckets has an opportunity to make an all-defensive team because they're just going to be just as good. You think about the player movement that's been around the league as far as guards. She's going to have more opportunity to make a name for herself this year and as the league expands. So I think she has a chance to make all-defense this year, but we got the dog, Miss Consistency, and Miss In and Out. That's my top three. Who you got?
Look, we're going to get into it. Hey, Superfly J, appreciate the super chat. Shout out to you, always holding it down for sure on my page. Always love it when you come through. Thank you so much for the $3 super chat. Hey, Paper Sack Brown, $9.99 super chat says, salute Kienzo, great content as always. Hey, that's the best compliment. That is the best compliment. Hey, we appreciate both of y'all.
All I ask is when you lay your head on that pillow at night, you know I gave you everything I had.
All right. Look.
You got the flow.
You touched on everything. Your top three is fine. Like, I ain't even, that's not it. That's not it for me. I was salivating at the mouth, per se. Because I just think McBuckets is not talked about enough. Like, whoa, like, her perimeter defense, man, she gonna cut somebody water off. Now, I don't know if she's just been finally on the Minnesota Lynx, finally kind of finding her place, or I'm not sure. I gotta go back and check that out, y'all. But McBuckets, she was important. A lot of people downplayed her in the championship games, but her defense was absolutely consistent, and you could look at Sabrina's numbers if you want to debate about it. I mean, she cut Sabrina's water off, seriously. Cut it clean off. I think McBuckets is absolutely underrated. I think what you said about perimeter defense being underrated as well is definitely a huge thing. I think a lot of people, when they think of defense, don't even put perimeter defense in that realm. They look at other things, blocks, certain, you know what I mean? Certain stuff, like you said, rim protectors, things like that. But perimeter defense is absolutely important. So, Dejanay Carrington, for sure. I'm in agreeance. Look, I'm high on McBride. So McBride is going to go, you know what I mean?
You got in your top three?
Yeah, she's going to go in my top three right now. Like, I love her. I love what she does. I just got to see it for myself. So it might be a little biased, but I got to see it for myself. As far as Ariel, I haven't gotten to see it yet. I did watch Washington play last year, don't get me wrong, but they never was on like a main stage for me to really just see, you know what I mean? Her just showcase that talent of hers. But I look forward to seeing it for sure, and maybe changing my mind. And then who is my third? I think I have to give it to AT as well. And I don't even understand how people don't talk about her IQ per se. I don't know if maybe they do talk about it, but in a different way, they don't use the words IQ. I think when they mention the fact that she can guard 1 through 5 and her being the point forward she is, I think they know her IQ is amazing, but maybe they don't really harp on it. And that is something that they should. When she retires, that's going to be her biggest thing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, on both ends of the court, she is extremely impactful. I'll say this. People better be happy them shoulders need surgery. Seriously. Because if yeah, man, her offensive game, it would be a wrap. Lights out for a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? So I have to give it to AT. People know how I feel about Angel, though. You know what I mean? But I can't give it to her just yet. She's going to have to really continue this and show how much of a dog she is on the defensive end. But Angel always talks about the fact that she feels like her defense isn't talked about enough, and that's something she's always working on. So I hope to have her up there 1 year.
She's
for
in my
sure.
top 10. She's in my top. Angel doesn't play on the perimeter enough.
Enough.
To get in my top 10 yet.
That's what I'm saying.
She's great. She got great hands. I think. My opinion is Angel Reese has the best hands in the WNBA, just pound for pound best hands. She just doesn't have enough tape on the perimeter for me. Facts. I know she's been doing it in Unrivaled because it's 3-on-3, but we're talking about in the league itself.
In the league. Yeah, no, facts. And that was my thought process too. Like, can't really put her in there because she's not out there enough. You know what I mean? That's not somewhere. Yeah. She's not a three for real. You know what I mean? So
You gotta have some accolades. You gotta have the accolades. You got
for sure.
That's what combine. I combine accolades and what I see.
Yeah, we'll see the potential of it. But that's my top three. I for sure hope they showcase more how important perimeter defense is this year, because for sure you're gonna be seeing a lot of stretching the floor this year. I think they've really met Atlanta, Chicago Sky. I think Seattle is trying it. However, how that goes, I don't know. Yeah. I think a lot of these teams are really trying to stretch the floor, man. Freaking LA Sparks. So perimeter defense is going to be even more important this year than last year. And we're going to see, hey, who got it and who don't. So I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see just a little bit more of that showcase and see who really has the talent. Maybe some people I never really noticed or whatever might figure it out and put some people on an island. You know what I'm saying? So I look forward to seeing that this next WNBA season, dog. But let's talk about who didn't have damn perimeter defense.
Yes, let's.
Y'all.
Let's.
I gotta breathe. Y'all, these games last week stressed me the hell out. I mean, two of my teams. Y'all, LSU is my team. And Notre Dame is my second team. I have such a love for Notre Dame. I have such a love for LSU. Love the way Notre Dame plays basketball. And just LSU just has my heart. I don't care for the way they play basketball necessarily, but they have my heart. I'm going to stick beside them no matter what. Y'all know how that go, right? But they disappointed me, y'all. They disappointed me this past week. I mean, I'm at a loss for words, but I will find them because Notre Dame, for me, is out of sorts. And when they dropped the second game, NC State to me was like, I wasn't mad about that. I just wasn't. I'm like, okay, cool, temperature check. Y'all need to heat back up, cool. When they dropped the second game, I'm like, something going on, right? And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not about to put nothing on nobody, start no rumors, y'all. But I will say you can see.
What's the conspiracy, Key?
I mean, I could see that second, even though they won the third game, but even in that game, I'm like, it's just off. Something's off. The chemistry is off. It's just weird. You know what I'm saying? I felt like I just felt it, y'all. I don't know if it's like, hey girl, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But in my intuition, I just felt like body language, the way they were playing, all of that is just off. I'll say this. I gotta give it to Niel too. Not in a good way. She got out-coached multiple times. She got out-coached, and it's weird because she's been the best coach this year, if you ask me. So it's like, I don't know why she's regressing. I don't know. I've never seen her coach like that. Them two games, that's why I'm like, something off. I don't know what it is, y'all. Them two games, I'm like, she don't coach like this. So I don't know what's going on. Listen, Hannah Hidalgo on that floor, she needed to pull her. I mean, in the loss against NC State, I think Hannah was 8-for-26. The next game, she was like, no,
I thought it was 4-for-17.
Is that one the 4-for-17? I think
I thought it was 4-for-17.
Let me see.
You being a little too nice, Key. I thought it was 4-for-17.
Let me see Hannah Hidalgo stats. Both games though, her field goal percentage was not.
She's only shooting like 28%.
I mean, it just It just was not good.
And losses, she's shooting like 28%. Like, that's horrible. That's horrible.
Facts. I got you. I got you. So, yep. 46 minutes in the Ooh. NC State. 26 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. But her field goal percentage was 30%. It was 30%. Her 3-point was 28.6. It ain't really down how many shots on ESPN. It's not breaking it down for me. Y'all, it just wasn't good. And FSU, it was even worse. 16 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals. 22.2 field goal percentage. 22.2. Yikes on a bike, man. Listen, she got to reel her in, man. I guess she's a sophomore and she has a lot to learn, but I just cannot get behind certain stuff. I get on, y'all, I keep it fair. I get on Juju. I don't care who you are. I'm going to get on you about your field goal percentage if it's unnecessary. Now, if you're doing all the other little things and you off maybe a few games or you're hitting timely shots, right? Because that you could have a trash field goal percentage, but you hit them important shots. You know what I mean? I could feel it, but it wasn't given that. I think her ego got in the way. I do think somewhat that National Player of the Year might be two, and then Taniya Latson was beating her out by a very small amount. It was like, I swear, it was like 0.56 points she was beating her. Now it's more because her field goal percentage went to trash. So it's more than that now. So I don't know if those things just have her playing extremely selfish. I will say she is not shooting more than she usually does. So that's not what I'm saying. It's just that she usually makes more shots. So you cool with it. But you have to adjust to the game in front of you. She's not making those shots, man. You gotta pull her. She's a detriment to y'all winning the game. So, I mean, that's just how I feel about Hannah, Niel, and Notre Dame. And I'll wait for LSU, but I want to hear what you think about Notre Dame and them two losses.
Hey, look, Notre Dame is who we thought they were. Coach Ivy definitely disappointed me. But let's start with I like to start with the head of the snake. Let's start with Hannah Hidalgo. I'm gonna read y'all in their losses this season against TCU. Hannah shot 9 for 22. Against Utah, she shot 6 for 17. Against North Carolina State, she shot 8 for 26. And against FSU, she shot 4 for 18. You have to, in big games, when the games are teetering, and again, in all these losses, even against Utah, TCU, they had chances to get back in the game or take the lead, and for some reason, they can't seem to muster up enough points to get back in games. Like, sometimes their offense becomes too ISO dependent. It isn't team involved. It's very much Hannah, go score. Outside of that, we have nothing. Hannah has to play better. Hannah has to play better down the stretch, especially with March Madness coming. Please don't tell me Hannah peaked already. If Hannah peaked already, Notre Dame is in trouble.
They're done.
If Hannah peaked, Notre Dame is in trouble. Look at Ozzy. Ozzy is in a great spot for UConn. I mean, AZ is in a great spot for UConn because she's starting to peak. Pay attention. Great players, they start peaking at the right time. They don't really coast through the season. They're really trying to find out what works, what doesn't. They're going to get their points, but you can tell that engine just starts to turn up and turn up and turn up as March Madness and the conference championships come around. So hopefully Hannah ain't peak too early. Next up, man, let's call it what it is. Look, we love Olivia Miles, but let's call it what it is. She plays no defense. And for all the praise Olivia Miles gets, she can't run an offense. Like, I watched the game and I tried to take my, like, I know she struggles in half court offense, but when I was watching the FSU game, I tried, know what I did? I tried to say, okay, I'm gonna sit back, don't judge him, let's see what she does. And when push came to shove, when Hannah Hidalgo couldn't get ISO scoring, when they say, Citron, you're not getting no open threes, Olivia Miles, go run your offense. She struggled. She couldn't run pick and roll. She couldn't get downhill. She kept settling. They had too many shot clock violations, too many turnovers. Like, Olivia Miles has to grow up. All the front running, all the lollygagging, all of the posturing, all of the between the leg passes don't mean nothing when you can't run an offense, when your team is struggling. That's what great point guards do. They find a way when their team is struggling to get a basket, Key, they say, Hannah Hidalgo, I got it. Look, you go here, Citron, you go here, King, come here. Let's run pick and roll, Hannah. When I go left, you hit back door. Citron, you stay right there. If they step to me, I'm going to kick it to you. If not, I got layup. My arms are long enough. She got a great underhand scoop layup that she does. She can't get in her bag. Because if they're not in transition, Olivia Miles doesn't have a bag. All she does in half-court offense is wait for Citron, a hand of her doggo, to go ISO and kick it to her. And she wants to shoot. She wants to shoot that high arcing wing corner, wing and corner three. That's literally what she does. She come across half court. She looks if the pass isn't there. She gives it to Hannah or Citron and go sit in the corner or go stand on the wing and just stand there. She gotta grow up. If they gonna make it somewhere, it's not Hannah Hidalgo. Hannah Hidalgo is the head of the snake, but Olivia Miles has to be the conscience. She has to be the person that settles them down. That's what great point guards do. If we feel Olivia Miles is generational, now it's time for her to show it. Now, when you blowing teams out and you doing half court passes between the leg, over the head, when y'all winning, that's all fine and dandy. But March Madness is coming. You and Coach Neil Ivey need to sit down and figure out how you can run the pick and roll better. So that's on Neil Ivey too. They need to figure out how, because Olivia Miles is non-existent in half court, and it's astonishing. They need to sit down and figure that out. Because in March Madness, teams, Key, when you lose 1 to 2 games, a team don't really know how to beat you, right? But when you got multiple and multiple losses, guess what teams do? They go look at the games you lost and say, this is how we beat them.
Yeah.
When you lose 1 to 2 games, like you look at UCLA, you look at USC, it's really hard to figure out how to beat them because on film, the coaches are probably just saying, oh, man, they probably just had a bad game. It might not be there for us if we try to do that. They just probably had a bad shooting game. But when you got multiple and multiple losses in the same way, they losing in the same way. Hannah Hidalgo, go shoot. That's it. That's how they lose. Hannah Hidalgo, go shoot. And when teams say, oh, that's how I get your points, that's the hand of his name. Let's cut it off. And again, if you got a good backcourt, Key, because I do want you to go, if you got a good backcourt, Notre Dame is losing. Notre Dame, look at their losses. Isaiah James, Sanaya Rivers. If you got a good backcourt, Van Litt, they losing because they backcourt don't play defense. And I'll leave it there. Like, they need to figure that out. And as Coach Neil Ivey, it got to start with you.
It does. No, I agree. When you finish explaining yourself, I heard what I needed to hear, per se. I agree that I think I like Olivia Miles, right? I like when she runs her offense, right? However, she's obviously better in transition versus half court. But I do think she can do it. But you're right about the fact that when it's needed, because we could talk all day about a win, a blowout, this or that. But when it's needed, when shit getting tough, right? Excuse me. You gotta put, and that's to me, that's here. You know what I mean? It's mechanics too, but it's also right here. Cause I said during NC State, me, Bro Claude, and Keisha I said, yo, why ain't Olivia like, yo, you not taking no more shots, Anna? Unless I say so. I mean, I just don't care. If we lose, we're gonna lose my way, right? Now that's where I don't know where to put my feelings about that. I don't know if I'm putting it on Olivia, or I just think that Niel might be a part of the problem. Like, because I'm just like,
yeah.
I think Niel might be too in control of the offense, if that makes sense. It's kind of like Cheryl Reeves, y'all. Like, sometimes you are hindering your team with your, you know what I mean? Because it was like they just kept, to me, I'm like, why do they keep trying the same shit? Like, why Niel, excuse me, stuff? Why is Niel not, like, I don't know, she's not adjusting to the game in front of her. And I don't really know her to be that way. But maybe these games are kind of showing her and where she needs to grow up too. Like, these are the tough games. She needs to get them a better offense. She does. And this was the one point I forgot to add, y'all. If they make this simple adjustment, hear me. I think if they just say, if we notice that Olivia's having an off game, we about to spread it back to Sonya. I might have to put her in my bet my dollar conversation. But because she shows up every time. I have no notes for Sonya. Field goal percentage, timely shots, when she's getting the ball. If it's that simple. Hannah is, when she gets to, like, I don't even know. When you even just notice tendencies, bad habits, gambling too much, little things like that, you go, okay, we're going to switch this offense to feature Sonya more. I don't, why not? She shows up in all the ways. She's fighting till the end, man. Her head's always in the game.
Key, that lets you know, and not to cut you off, but
no,
you made a great point. That lets you know this was never Olivia Miles' offense, because she can't even go to her. This was always Hannah's offense.
But that's not Olivia's fault.
That's what I'm saying. That's on Neil Ivy. That lets you know this offense was never for Olivia Miles. Because if Hannah Hidalgo ain't going, they lose. They got nothing else to go to.
I disagree that they don't have nothing else to go to.
They do got stuff to go to.
Right. They don't practice. She refuses, like to see that and run.
You can't do it in a game, Keith. You can't say, oh, we're gonna stop running Hannah plays and start running Olivia plays if you don't practice them. The players don't know where to go. So that lets you know this was never Olivia Miles' offense.
Yeah, I mean, that's hindering her and her growth process. You understand what I'm saying? But she'll learn it somewhere. I don't think it's impossible, but if they're not running it in a way that she can learn, it's reps. Basketball is a game of reps. So, you know, that's kind of what it comes down to. I think we both kind of broke down everywhere that Notre Dame needs to get better. It's very important. March Madness is coming up, that they do, or they will be out. Listen, it's anybody's day. There's not a team that's just a shoe-in to me, y'all. I'm so sorry. Yeah. It's anybody's day.
I love this season, Keith. I love this season.
I like it better than any other, because the other ones, you kind of be like, okay, Virginia Tech and Denver, okay, they're going to win. But now it's like Notre Dame and LSU, I don't know. You know what I mean? Notre Dame against
USC. They really got the same problem.
Yeah, facts. Facts, right?
The bigs
for Notre Dame ain't it either. The bigs for Notre Dame ain't it either. I pray. You don't like Keith? Huh?
You don't like
I like Kate. She butterfingers low key though. Kate is butterfingers low key. Kate, man, she gonna let that ball fall out of her hands every time. And it's just I like her. She's a shot blocker, right? So that's good. She's a freshman though, so I'm not gonna depend on her. You know, my expectations aren't high. It's not to say she's bad. It's just that if you depending on that to win a championship, I don't know. I don't know. She has some developing to do. So that's where I'm at with that. We'll see, y'all. It's anybody's day. We'll see what Notre Dame really, really does. LSU. LSU dropped two games in a row as well. Two games in a row against Alabama and Ole Miss. I don't like to downplay any team. That's not my game. That's not how I get down, right? And I just said is everybody's day. But I do think people's expectation with the Big Three is that they beat certain teams for sure, right? But it's the same way Notre Dame dropped one to TCU and dropped one to Utah. Like, they were the better team, clearly, but they dropped those balls. You could say it was the injuries they had at that point in the season. But, yeah. I'm highly disappointed in LSU. The lack of leadership is a major problem to me. Kim's coaching, they might have the same issues. You might be right about that. Kim's coaching, not adjusting to the game in front of her, not running the offense through Mikayla Williams, the best player on the team, be making me want to cry. Like, I don't understand. You have Mikayla Williams on your team, one of the best sophomores in that 2027 draft, man. Feature that girl. I understand your plight or your bias towards Flauje. I get it. You love her. Had her since a freshman. You just love her. I get it, Kim, but she's not the best player on the team. She's just not. You have to feature Mikayla more. She's a better passer. She's a better point guard than the other point guards that you have. Her defense could be better. It's not atrocious, but it could be better. And she's a bucket with as little as she's going to bounce that ball twice at best and shoot her shot. You know what I'm saying? I love her bag, three-level score. And then the bigs. I love Anissa. But that's not enough. Samaya Smith, not enough. Jersey, I don't even know what Jersey be doing. 6'5", 6'6"?
6'6".
It's crazy. She just don't do nothing out there. She doesn't impact anything. And then she barely plays ADR. Probably for a lot of reasons. The ISO ball, the lack of point guard play. The shooting too early in shot clocks, the hero ball. So many things. I struggle with thinking that LSU, mind you, Flauje did an interview and said that LSU, anything less than Final Four isn't good enough, right? So that's interesting to me because at this point, I don't see them making it past Elite Eight, maybe. Oh, Flauje's out with injury. Will be out in the rest of the SEC tournament, y'all. She's not playing in the SEC tournament at all. Yeah. LSU might have some more losses. So I think Kim is trying to rest up from that injury to her shin and get her prepared for the March Madness. Maybe that gives them the edge to make it to Final Four. Let's see. What you think about LSU twice?
Hey, look. If Big Four don't play, I got them losing their first game in the tournament. I got them losing in round one in the tournament.
No. She's going to be in the March Madness. She's not going to be in the SEC tournament, SEC
That's
tournament.
What I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I got them losing their first game. Okay. I know they got to buy during the SEC tournament, but I got them losing. If Big Four don't play in this tournament, I got them losing their first game because they don't want to see Tennessee. They don't want to see South Carolina. They don't want to see Texas. Look, Key, they ain't better than either of them. And Big Four not there. They I don't think they better than Alabama.
Yeah.
And Big Four not there, they not even beating Alabama. Let's be real. Let's be honest here. You think they beat Alabama without Big Four?
No. I don't. I don't think
Aaliyah Nigel get in that work.
Nah, I don't think so. They couldn't win with her either. You know what I mean? So I definitely don't think they're gonna win without her. Big Four is an important part. So
look, they got the same problem Notre Dame does. They got one offense and they can't adjust. Their coach is stubborn. They don't got the ball in the right person's hand. Same problem Notre Dame has. And they don't got no inside presence outside of Anissa. And she hit or miss because of the play calling. So mm-hmm. she can't even be her best self because of the play calling. I mean, Notre Dame and LSU, I've been saying this from the beginning. And people been like, nah. Like I say, I might say something weird. I know basketball. Be patient. It's going to play itself out. Now they in the same boat, doing the same stuff, got the same issues, losing the same games, the same type of ways, shot chucking, no inside presence, no defense, allowing penetration, and don't got nobody that's distributing the ball in half court. It's a lot of ISO, your turn, my turn. Let's see if you got it going, throw up a shot last second, shot clock violations. The coach got her hands on her hip. Man, make an adjustment. Look, I'm going to say this. Championship coaches get fired every day, B. Championship coaches get fired every day. Look, at some point, let's stick with LSU. At some point, Kim Mulkey going to outweigh her welcome. It happened at Baylor. Look, when you got, I'm going to tell you this. On the outside looking in, even as a person who on the outside looking in now, who not in the locker room, I see it differently now. But when I was in the locker room, I'm going to tell you this. The AD, they in the coach's room. The AD, they're in the film studies. They're seeing how you're adjusting game by game. I've heard the AD chew a coach out. We're on a 5-game winning streak because a certain player wasn't getting shots. Look, big-time programs have big-time responsibilities with big-time pockets. Like I said, Kim Mulkey was doing all that winning at Baylor, proven championships, first-round picks under her belt. You outstay your welcome because we're giving you all this money. We're giving you all this flexibility. You can't bring in recruiting classes, and you're not winning like you're supposed to. You losing to Texas, South Carolinas, the Alabamas, the Tennessees, that's a no-go. I don't care what other games you win. That's a no-go. Like, we paying you to beat South Carolina. We paying you to beat Texas. We're not paying you to beat Ole Miss. We're not paying you to beat the team down the street, Louisiana Tech. We're paying you to beat South Carolina. We're paying you to beat Texas. We're paying you to win conference championships and be in the Final Four, at least the Elite Eight. So she gotta wake up, or she gonna lose this program. Because I don't look at what you done. And the same thing that AD is going to do when he called in that room, he don't care what she's done. What does the future look like? And she's getting paid a lot of money. She's the top five highest paid coach in college. When you top five, you got to be there at the end. I need you in Spokane. If you're not in Spokane, what are we talking about? I don't care about your record. The money, the TV rights key, because guess what? Not the AD. Guess what? Louisiana City Council is going to LSU and say, hey, we got these TV rights deal and we not making money because you're not reaching the Elite Eight. Key, I'm giving y'all some inside information on how this works. That's why you see championship coaches get fired. Because the City Council, they going to them saying, hey, we got the Channel 4 TV rights, but you're not in the Elite Eight. We got a baseball game on right now, a throwback baseball game on when we're supposed to be watching basketball. And I'll leave it there.
What you think about what I said about Michaela?
Michaela, they should run the offense through Michaela. And fact. Those who don't think so, watch how she actually plays. People thought you couldn't run an offense. People thought James Harden couldn't be a point guard. He couldn't adjust. Michaela is literally, can literally be AT on offense. Literally, if you fact. Allow her to be. She can be, we just finished talking about AT. She can be AT on offense if they allow her to be that. But the play calling has to change. So you don't really see it because the play calling doesn't highlight what she does best. In this system, her responsibility is to shoot. Her responsibility, if you watch the way they run their offense, her responsibility is to get up 12 to 15 shots a game. If she don't
get up those shots,
they can't get on the boards. Because like I say, when you run that high wing ISO, why you think Angel Reese and Anissa offensive boards are so high? Because even when you go back and look at Brittany Griner's, like, their offensive rebounds are so high in that offense because they're at the high post, so they're able to see the trajectory of the ball. Mm-hmm. So the shooting guard responsibility, I've been in a system like that where my responsibility is to get it to this player 17 to 18 times a game. And on the outside looking at you, might be like, why are you shooting all those shots?
Because the way they run that
play is for her to shoot that. Like, that's it.
The way they run the offense does not help. Like, I pray the time she comes out that they just do a better job at that, man. Because what they basically be having her bail them out, and that's not what she there for real. Now, she is a clutch shot shooter, don't get me wrong. But you putting too much on her when you should just be feeding her to begin with so y'all don't get in them spaces. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and she is, I think she's one of the most efficient in her class. She's not going to have the points like Hannah and Juju in them or Tanaya Latson, which is next year, because she don't get to put up those amount of shots. She just doesn't. And I think she probably should. I think she probably should. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think Michaela's the best player on that team. You ain't going to convince me of nothing different. I do. I know it because I know what I know. She's the best player on the team. Now, she's not able to showcase her talent because of Kim, but she's better than the other players on that team. And that's just all I got to say on that. Hey, we'll see, though. Look, Kim has the number one recruit in class coming in next year, Zoe. So we're going to see.
That's what I'm talking about, Key. We paying you all this money to give them NIL deals. They got a profit.
Yeah, I know.
You got the number one recruiting class in the NIL thing. That lets you know they putting money behind her.
Facts. Next year,
they got money.
You got the number one recruiting class.
We paid you to get the number one recruiting class, and we paid them to come here. We need to be at least in the Elite Eight, at least minimum.
Facts. Oh, next year, I'm expecting a lot. I ain't gonna hold you, especially if Flajay stays. It's Michaela's junior year. Obviously, they lose the presence of Anissa Morrow, but I don't care. I'm expecting a lot. We're going to see where they get this year. But next, let me tell you, LSU is way too talented to not see them at least in the Final Four every single year.
Every single year.
Too talented. Too talented. So we're going to see. But look, in talking about that LSU loss to Alabama, our weekly all-star, y'all, is Aaliyah Nye. Aaliyah Nye was balling, man. She was out there balling, passionate, doing all the little things, busting them in the head, man. Look, Aaliyah Nye versus LSU played 34 minutes, 28 points, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 turnovers. Field goal percentage was 75%. 100% free throw shooting and 75% from the 3. In that game. I mean, you can't ask for more than that, yo. She was busting them in the head. Look, real quick, the game previous to that, 29 points, 2 rebounds, 1 steal, 55% shooting, 100% again from the free throw, and 54.5% from the three. I mean, she has a few games like that, but she ate LSU up. It gave them that edge. It got very close. And they put the pressure on Mikayla to bail them out, and she didn't. I felt terrible for Mikayla, honest to God. But we got to showcase Aaliyah Nye as the weekly star, y'all. She did her thing. Shout out to Aaliyah Nye. You know what I'm saying? Love him. Yeah, man. She had to be this week. She was dominant in that game. She plays consistent from what I've seen, but that's a breakout game, right? Versus that team, nobody's expecting you to win. So that's a breakout game when you do what you did against that type of team with that type of talent, right? Flaje was playing that game too. So, look, shout out to her and everything she did. It's been great, great, great basketball going on all around and unrivaled in women's college basketball. Hate to see my two teams drop. Hope they shift things coming into March Madness. But listen, March Madness is going crazy. So keep it locked here on Excuse the Takeover, where we're going to be getting into the latest and greatest women's basketball news across the field every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern time, y'all. So look, keep it locked on both. Just because as soon as we get off of here, we're going to get into Unrivaled, y'all. We're going to get into Unrivaled. So y'all going to want to come back. Like, comment, subscribe, share, tell a friend to tell a friend. This has been a great show. Great breakdowns from Zoe. You know that mind. He going to give you that real. Love to hear it. And I'm going to give you them key facts. You know what I'm saying? So thank y'all for coming through as usual. Thank y'all for coming through as usual. We expect you to see you next week. Look, we appreciate everybody coming through and everybody supporting in the chat. Hey, donations is helpful. Nothing too big or too small because it's going to make this show bigger. Shout out to y'all. Thank you so much. You got anything, Zoe, before we head out?
Hey, just make sure before you leave, you hit the like button even after. We love to hear y'all thoughts on the topics after the videos, after the video drops. Hey, go back in the comment section. Go like the video if you haven't. Go comment just your thoughts. If we didn't get to it in there, look, we both like to respond to our viewers. So if there's something you wrote in the chat that you want us to respond to or get our take on, put it in the comment section after the video and we'll definitely respond to it. Run those comments up after the video drop. Again, go subscribe to WBB. That's two B's, Universe. And go subscribe to I Am Zoe Media. I am Zoe Media, no E. Stop putting E's on my name. That's Zoe. It's Z-O. It's literally on my hoodie. Like, how you spelling it wrong and it's on my hoodie? You typing and looking at me and you still spelling it wrong. But shout out to y'all, man. Again, we going to continue to grow. Keep running the likes up on both of the pages. Hey, go share this on your social medias, man.
Yes.
That's what we really ask. Let other people know how insightful and how well and structured this show is. Excuse the Takeover. Go tell your friends, go tell your co-workers so they can get in on this insight and knowledge as well. But shout out to all of y'all, man. We appreciate it.
Facts. Look, I respond to everybody as well, just like Zoe said, you know what I'm saying? But if you want it to be immediate during the show, send that super chat, y'all. It goes to making the show bigger. Look, I know you be on Uber Eats. Stop playing with me. I know you be up in Starbucks. You can't get one less coffee. Put your question in here on a super chat. Look, if you want us to answer directly what you're saying, if you want to pick Zoe Media's brain, send that super chat in and we pull it up. We're going to answer whatever you have to say in the midst of the show. Otherwise, we have to wait until afterwards, and it'll be a lot of comments. I do respond to everybody, but it'll be a lot of comments. I'm going to like and heart it for sure. It's best you make yourself a priority and donate to the show. We appreciate you guys. We heading over to Unrivaled, so keep it locked here or on Zoe Media's page. Make sure you subscribe to both pages, like both videos. But we about to get into Rose versus Laces. Come meet us over there, y'all. Come through. Come meet us over there. Appreciate y'all. Until next time, until next Monday, it's been a pleasure. Shout out to y'all.
Excuse the takeover, taking charge. Women's game front and center, living large. Hit that subscribe, stay tuned to the ride. We bring in the heat, never gonna hide.
Analyze and chat, every stat interact, breaking barriers. No cap, that's a fact. Leave a comment below, watch the growth unfold. Together we gon' make this story be told.